We'll be looking in Ephesians chapter 6, as we saw earlier on, particularly in verses 18 to 20. Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20 in particular. And I want to think about the context of that. We've already seen that with that really good video that James showed us. But the context is that we've been encouraged to put on the full armor of God. And earlier in Ephesians, this is what we see, the full armor of God. And what I wanted us to think about, and I've been very conscious of this week, is that the Christian life is not one long spiritual retreat. I wonder if that's a bit upsetting for you this morning. You know, I just want to get a spiritual massage. I want to just hang out with Jesus and feel good. And it just struck me this week that, man alive, we are in a battle. And one of the greatest things that the enemy wants us to realize is that we are just in some kind of Christian theme park where we're just hanging out for Jesus. But we are in a battle, people. And I have felt the battle this week as I've come to prepare and talk about prayer, because the enemy doesn't want you to hear about prayer. Doesn't want me to believe in prayer. He wants us to somehow just go, hold on a minute, let me have 20 minutes of, I've got it now, I've got it. It's like, where's Wally? I'm trying to find the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to find the presence of God. I've got it now, I've found it. But we are in a battle. And this completely and utterly, for me, changes the game. Because when I wake up in the morning and I think that I am a soldier of Christ, that I am in his army, that you are in his army this morning, and some of us are on the front line and we're shooting the bullets and we're taking the bullets. Some of us are medics. Some of us are strategists. Some of us are involved in logistics and what's going to happen in the war. But we are all in the army this morning. And that sounds, on the one side, scary, because it's like, well, I don't really like, I don't know if I like this, because I live in 2019 and I'm my own person and I went to school and I was told, if I just reach for the stars, I can do anything I want. But we are in an army this morning, God's army. We are in a battle. And the comfort thing about that is this, is that you are not alone and I am not alone as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because in an army, you support one another, you encourage one another, you pray for one another, you look out for one another, and you don't want friendly fire, what an awful phrase that is, within your army. You don't want blue on blue. You don't want somebody shooting you in the back. You don't want red on red. You don't want somebody stabbing you in the back. You don't want, sorry, can we just flick back to start? I've messed that one up with the clicker there. We don't want this kind of antagonism within the army. But as we live as individuals, we can just be thinking about ourselves. And so why the context of verses 18 and 20 are so important is because we recognize we're in a battle. We recognize we're in the army. And that we need to be equipped with the right equipment. And the way that we navigate wartime and not peacetime, because we're not living in peacetime. The way we do that is we put on the full armor of God and we pray. So here's a thought. Why do you think prayer is so difficult? Because the enemy doesn't want you to pray. Why is it that so many churches are not hungering for God, crying out to God on our knees, packing out church prayer meetings, because the enemy wants to distract you? If right now war was declared and our homes were threatened, if we were in a wartime situation, we would act differently. And that is what it's like spiritually, but we're living as if we're in a Christian theme park. And so the way that we navigate this, the way that I encourage you as one of your pastors, the way that you encourage other members, the way that you encourage me, is that we pray and we show our allegiance to our great commander. That we show our allegiance and dependency upon God in prayer. And so remember the context that Paul is in prison. He's up against it. He's in no Christian theme park. He's in prison for his faith, up against it in chains. He's not saying, well, hold on a minute. I really wished I went to that conference in Nashville because then I wouldn't be in prison. I would have just said those right words and I'd have bought that book. I would have been, there's no way as a Christian I would have got in prison because I would have bought into that mantra and that would never have happened to me. But that's not the case. Paul is in prison. And there's so much within these two verses. Let's just look at the first two verses. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. So we are to be led by the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I wonder what you think when you think about praying in the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. And I think this partly relates to what I was talking about 2 weeks ago in terms of being still, is that we get up in the morning and we surrender to God. We say, my life is not my own, God. I can't even step out this door without your grace. I can't get on this bus to work. I can't go to school. I can't go to work. I can't do anything without your grace, God. And so I'm going to bend on my knees and I'm going to ask you to set the compass for the day. I don't want the compass to be pointing to me or anywhere else. You lead me. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God. Just the compass, point it towards where you want to lead me, God, today. I want to go where you want to go. It's by your grace. And so God wants to take ordinary people like you and me and have us pray in the Spirit to depend upon God and be led by the Spirit. This is good stuff. This is what you need. This is what I need. But the enemy doesn't want you to hear this. Man alive, have I had a battle this week? Like, literally, can I even do this talk? That's how much the enemy wants to stop us hearing about prayer. And so we need to see the reality of this so that we are led by the Spirit. Ordinary people like you and me, it's like, we thought about when we still ourselves, we ask God to come, Holy Spirit, fill me today, lead me, guide me. I need you. I'm desperate for you. We're to wait on the Holy Spirit and ask for the Holy Spirit's help. And it sounds simple, and it is. But we need to wait. We need to seek him. We need to be desperate like people running for cover in a war. We need to be seeking him so hard and fast and not be lukewarm and not be lethargic, not be self-dependent with 50 things to do that day. Listen to this amazing story from a book by Martin Lloyd-Jones called Joy Unspeakable. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Welshman, has got a really dry sense of humor, which you will pick up as we go through this. I was in a prayer meeting once, which those of us who were in it will never forget. Maybe I should do a Welsh accent, I don't know. I remember very well, it ends up becoming Indian, doesn't it? That's the problem. I remember very well that it was in the month of June. It was a Monday evening prayer meeting, which we had regularly in the church, where I was then minister. We had a remarkable Sunday in many ways, but it came to the meeting as usual, and I called upon somebody to open by reading scripture and prayer. The meeting started at 7:15. Sounds familiar. That's when our prayer cafe starts. That's a little plug. Once a month, first Tuesday of the month. And this man had read the scripture and had prayed, and another man had got up and prayed in the same way. Then a third man got up to pray, a man we all knew very well. A simple man, a very ordinary man from the intellectual standpoint. Indeed, I must say this, that he would not have resented it. He is no longer alive and his family would not mind. He was a man who had certain defects as we all do. Certain striking defects, a self-important little man, a man whom we did not in any sense regard as either unusually spiritual or in other ways unusual. And I had heard this man pray many times. However, on this particular evening, this man had not uttered more than two or three sentences before I was aware and everybody else became aware of something most extraordinary. He was normally halting, humble, pedestrian, ordinary. Let me even use the word boring. But suddenly, this man was entirely transformed. His voice deepened. A power came into it, even in his speech, and he prayed in the freest, most powerful manner I think I have ever heard in my life. And you can imagine what happened. The prayer meeting continued without any intermission, and the freedom that had accompanied this man's prayer was given to all the others, and that went on until 9:50. I had not said a word. There was no hymn singing. There was nothing. It was just a tremendous free power in prayer. One felt that one was outside of time, that one was in heaven. One was really lifted up to the spiritual realm. And here I was listening to people whom I knew so well, praying with freedom and power and assurance, people who had never prayed in public in their lives before, who had been terrified at the very thought of it, found themselves praying. Wow. Come on. Who wants some of that? Isn't your life a bit dull when you live in the Christian theme park? Don't you want some of that? I want some of that. I want that for KCC. I want us to be more and more a praying church that shows our dependency upon the Lord, that people will look at us and say, they know who Jesus is. They're desperate for Jesus. They depend on Jesus. We can see them living for the kingdom. We see that their spirit led. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. And don't you see the attractiveness in that when you see that in somebody else? As Martin Lloyd-Jones said, just a boring old unsignificant supposed man who then gets transformed by the work of the Spirit. Don't you want that? And so we can be led in prayer by the Spirit, and we need to be led in prayer by the Spirit. But we also need to be praying all the time. Look, we're still in verse 18, and it says, on all occasions. Be praying on all occasions. So when you're in bed, when you're brushing your teeth, on the way to school, at school, at work, at home, dropping the kids off to school, when you're standing in a queue, we need to seek the help of the Holy Spirit, praying on all occasions, that we would be on our knees waiting on Him. Reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ Jesus, that we position ourselves of our need for Christ, and we're praying on all occasions. Not just when we feel like it, but praying on all occasions. But then we also need to see in verse 18, as we look again, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. Maybe some of us think, well, I'm not very good at praying because that person does really amazing theological prayers. Like, I've never even heard of that word before. So there's no way I can compete with them when I'm praying. But God wants us to pray about everything. He wants us to pray about food. So, you know, whether it's Him providing a jar of chicken korma that we've got here, or providing cheese and broccoli pasta, or whether it's providing our daily bread, or if you're Colin McPhee, give us today our daily pot noodle. Whatever it is that we pray that God will provide for us our needs, and be very specific about that. We can come to God with our tears. We can come to God with our groans about our trials. We can pray for our dog that doesn't sleep. We can pray for our cat. Why would you have a cat? We can pray about the world and the environment, not just talking about caring about the environment, but praying about the environment. We can come to God in all of our life. And I wonder whether sometimes some of us are in danger of compartmentalizing our life. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is we come to church and we're like switched on, yeah, this is about Jesus. But we go to work or we go to school and we maybe don't pray or we don't think about what we specifically could pray for. So when your head is done in with those Excel sheets, are you praying, Lord, help me work these Excel sheets? Or when you're doing homework for school, are you praying, Lord, help me with this homework? Or when you've got that difficult board meeting, are you praying, Lord, give me wisdom for this board meeting? Because we can be tempted to create a sacred secular divide, that we only pray about the stuff that sounds spiritual rather than all of life and being very specific. And I wonder whether it's helpful for us, even time won't allow just in the time we've got just now, but maybe as we go from here, as we go home tonight, why don't we just write down two or three really specific prayers? I've been really encouraged to think about when you're praying for your family, don't just say, well, pray for John and Jane or whatever, but pray something specific for that person. Just be really specific about that. Lord, would you just provide John with that job that he really needs? Would you provide Jane the help she needs as she's struggling with her depression? Very specific prayers. Come with all kinds of prayers and requests. But we also need to be alert. Have you noticed? We're only in verse 18. How rich is this verse? So be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. What does it mean to be alert? Well, I've asked Kenny if he would just come and briefly share what it means to be alert from his line of work and his own Christian faith. Kenny, can you just briefly share for us? Thank you.
Thanks, Clive. I was chatting with Clive earlier on this week, and we were just talking about my job. For those of you who don't know me or what I do for a living, I'm a firefighter. And he was sort of saying, "How, you know, what's it like in the evenings, you know, maybe when it's a bit quiet, you're all sort of sitting there waiting for a fire." I went, "No." "So what do you do? "Well, we had a curry and watched some telly and then went to my bed and actually had a better night's sleep at work than I do at home." He says, "But how does that?" I went, "Well, let me put you in a bit of a picture here, Clive. Over a 3-year period, we have about 38 different modules that we continually train for, whether it be petrochemical incidents, rescuing animals, high-rise building fires, domestic building fires, water rescue, and so the list goes on. And over a 3-year period, we're constantly training and preparing for all these events that may or may not happen. And not only that, not only are we training, but we have the proper equipment as well. We go and have a look in the fire engine, and we find we have an array of stuff, whether it be hoses, axes, reciprocating saws, fans, as well as our firefighting equipment for our boots, our leggings, our jackets, our gloves, our helmet, our flash hoods, all of which I've got to check all the time that it's in good working order. I can have great gloves, but if there's a hole in them in the fingers, I'm going to get burnt. So I've got to check that I'm actually not only trained properly, but I'm equipped. And at any time, I'm ready to go. So even when I'm lying in my bed, my shoes are just right there. My socks lie on top of my shoes. My trousers are kind of rolled down so I can just jump in it. The T-shirt's right there. They're on. So everything's ready to go. And even when I get down to the fire engine, the boots are there. The jacket's hanging up. The helmet's in a position. Anything is ready. I'm ready to go at a moment's notice, whatever we see on the screen. So not only are we training all the time, we're equipped. And we're ready to respond just at a moment's notice.
Great, thanks, Kenny. And so that reminder to be alert means to be that we need to be ready, that we need to be trained, equipped, and ready to respond. And we're told as Christians that we need to be alert and keep on praying. So the question is, are you alert? Am I alert? Or are we just whatever when it comes to understanding who Jesus is and how we're living? Are you alert and praying for others, or have you given up meeting with others for prayer? It's important that we're alert, but we're praying for others, that we can really encourage one another in KCC in a really simple way, that we can just drop somebody a text message and say, listen, I want to pray for you today. What can I pray for? We're living in an age where it's so simple. Like, how long does it take to just text somebody? Or if you're younger, Snapchat or Instagram direct message. Just say, what can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you? Or if you're more old school, and it's nice to be old school sometimes, to say, well, send somebody a card. Encourage somebody with a card. Just want to encourage you, thank you, pray for you. What can I pray for? We've got to be into the detail of what God is saying. We're praying with very specific requests. We're alert and we're praying for one another. And a sign of a healthy church, and it does happen, but I think it can happen more, is that we need to be looking out for one another. Not just us being on one long Christian spiritual retreat in terms of what's in it for me, but how can we bless one another through prayer? I'm praying for you. Anything I can pray for. What's your week looking like? How are the kids? How's the family? How's the grandchildren? Whatever it is, that we pray for one another. But lastly, we need to be expectant. I'm not quite sure why the clicker's not moving on, but the last slide is we need to be expectant. So we need to. So in verse 19, it says, and 20, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So there is a kind of sense that we are all in this together. And maybe we've grown up in a setup where, I know, minister or pastor seems to be like one foot above contradiction or whatever, or somehow I've got a bulletproof vest on, or Colin's got a bulletproof vest on the back. But the reality is that we really need your prayers in declaring the gospel fearlessly. That I am made of the same stuff as you, and things come my way in the same ways that they come your way in the week. And I sometimes lose sleep, and my dog sometimes wakes up four times within a week and wrecks me and makes me feel like I've got a toddler again. I'm made of the same stuff as you, and you're made of the same stuff as me. And so we need to be praying for one another. But particularly when it comes to declaring God's word, there is a battle that goes on for particularly Colin and I as we come and proclaim the truth. And we need your prayers, and we thank you so much for praying for us. But please don't give up praying for us, because I and Colin want you to be blessed by the overflow of what God is doing in our hearts, and we want to fearlessly make known the gospel to you and not just tickle ears, as it were. I'm going to finish with this story from Martin Lloyd-Jones regarding a guy called John Livingston. And this happened in 1630, and we can be like, oh, 1630, that was ages ago. Stuff like that happened then. But why can't it happen now? Because I believe that if we are a praying people, asking God, that if we humble ourselves and repent of our sin, that he can revive this land now. And we can see a real harvest here in Kirkliston. We can see people coming to know Jesus. We can be refined. We can be restored. We can be renewed. We can be refreshed. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit. So as you hear this, be aware of, Lord, would you make this happen with us? Now in the month of June 1630, John Livingston and others were present at communion season in a place called Kirk O'Shots, and it was decided that John Livingston should be one of the preachers, the main preacher, in fact. On Monday the 21st of June, he was always a good, what they called, solid preacher, a man who expounded the scriptures, knew the doctrines, was an able divider of the scripture, and so on. And here he was, due to preach on this Monday. He tells the story of how between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out in the fields to pray, and he was attacked by the devil, who told him to go home to disappear. Who was he, the devil asked, to preach to a great crowd of people? He was a good minister in an ordinary way, but not the man for such an occasion. Livingstone was seriously tempted to go home or to get out of sight somewhere because he was afraid of his ordeal of preaching to such a number. However, he overcame the attack of the devil, and the time came for him to preach, and he took for his text Ezekiel 36, 25 to 26, on this very matter of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say that he preached for an hour and a half, did you get that one? And then he came to his application. So he hadn't come to his application till after an hour and a half, which he had intended to be brief, an hour and a half of exposition, outlining the doctrine, then the application. But he suddenly found that there was something happening to him, and the application, which he had intended to be brief, went on for another hour. And as it went on, astounding things were happening. People were falling to the ground, others breaking down weeping. The end of the story was that it was estimated that at least 500 people were converted as the result of that one sermon. When I say converted, I do not mean that they just came forward at the end. They did not do things like that in those days. There was no need. I do not mean that they signed some form. No, they were converted in the sense that their whole lives were changed and remained changed, and they joined the Christian church with no pressure to decision upon them. None of them, the usual machinery that we have become so accustomed to. Nothing like that at all. All that only began about the middle of the last century, but this was the power of the Spirit. It's the same God who wants his people to be part of the same army in the same battle, who wants his people to recognize that prayer is essential and that we will see change happen when we come with expectation, living by the Spirit. I'm going to ask Nee just to come up and play a bit, but actually, if the band can just hold off a minute, because, you just come play, because I think we are beyond time. Oh my goodness, we are so time precious. I'm not preaching for another hour, not like John Livingstone. But what I do want to say is this. Would we just raise our eyes beyond ourselves? Would we just look to the magnitude of who God is? And that there is a battle that is going on right now. There is brokenness in this world that we know. Brokenness in your life, brokenness in my life. And there is a world that needs Jesus. Can we just raise our eyes a bit to say, God, would you come and have your way? Holy Spirit, would you remove us from wanting to hang out in the Christian theme park and help us to mature in our faith, that we will stand for Christ, that we will take this stand. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Come on. Let's just be still now and ask him to come. Holy Spirit, would you come now? Have your way amongst us. Show us what it is that we need to see. What it is that you're saying to us. Have your way. If you're able to, why don't we just stand where we are as a sign of response in prayer? Let's just stand now. sometimes good for us just to stand where we are and say, God, here I am. So, Father, we come and we recognize that we're in a battle. We recognize that you have the victory. But you call us to be people who take a stand. Call us to be a praying people. Call us to be a people who don't just footer around in this life, but that take up the call to arms, that we are going to follow your lead. And so would you help us by your Spirit be the people that you want us to be. Work in us by your Spirit. Humble us where we need that. Show us our need of you, God. And would you draw near to us as we draw near to you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. So just as we move to a close, maybe for some of us it would be really helpful to come for prayer. Prayer team will be at the front. I'll be available to pray with you as well. Maybe you just want to stay where you are and just ask God to keep moving and speaking in your life, showing you what he's saying to you today on the back of his word.